Today we have the honor to invite Frederick to our podcast. Hi, Frederick. You
Hello.
want to introduce yourself to the audience?
My name is Frederick, and I'm helping nice guys to become conscious men. So I help them from going from feeling very lonely and isolated to feeling joyful and connected and purposeful.
Wow, that's a first time I'm hearing like a coach specializing in that. And you labeled yourself as a nice guy coach. That makes me wonder, what's your definition of a nice guy in the first place?
Yeah, so a nice guy has very typical traits we see in a lot of men nowadays. And it's like, I think the three biggest traits are he's very not assertive. Like, he doesn't take initiative a lot. He's usually, for example, in a, when he comes home maybe, and he's like his wife is at home or something like that, or his girlfriend, he doesn't feel comfortable to like say, okay, what's for dinner when she's asking. But he's like, oh, I don't know, we do whatever you want, because there's subconscious patterns which hold him off. Like, he feels afraid to say his opinion, so he doesn't know
So
what he
basically, he
wants.
doesn't like have a big ego himself.
Yeah, I think actually no, he has a big ego. It's just like the ego
It's content.
doesn't allow him. He has patterns, subconscious patterns, which make him very scared to say his opinion, because he learned in childhood that this is not a good survival strategy. Basically, he grew up in an environment where it was not a good idea to say your opinion. He had to hide, he had to be small, and he learned to shut down his emotions, shut down what he wants, shut down what he needs, and not say that, because that's a bad strategy.
That can't. That's like such like an Asian thing. Because when you were saying that, I was like, oh, I can relate to that. Like as an Asian girl, like growing up, surrounded by like very harsh like Chinese parents, and like always kind of like used to contain my own emotions and like just be like a people pleaser. Now should just like cannot freely express like what I really think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you like you're like a white guy like from like a Western world like are there like many men like in your country who are like that? Like yeah, it's
Yeah, for sure. Like, you said one important thing there. You said people pleaser. And basically, the nice guy is the masculine, like, archetype of a people pleaser, right? Like, women can be people pleasers, maybe men can be people pleasers, but the nice guy archetype is kind of the man people pleaser. And so a lot of these traits, we maybe typically in the past would have said, like, oh yeah, women are more like that, right? More agreeable, don't say the opinion, both, like, are more small, like, are maybe afraid to share the opinion, that we see in a growing number of men. Yeah, and especially in the West, it has to do with several factors, but it goes back, until even the Industrial Revolution. Like, that was the first part, when the first time where sons weren't going on the maybe fields with their fathers anymore. And back then, before the Industrial Revolution, a lot of boys grew up until like maybe 12 years with their mother, and then they would go out with their fathers, with their uncles, with their brothers, and they got socialized like with other men. But nowadays, if you think about it, after Industrial Revolution, all the fathers are in the factory, and then afterwards, from blue collar to white collar job, all the fathers are in the office now, and you can't bring your child to the office. So now we grow up in a world, all the boys grow up in a world where they just are surrounded by women, by their mom. And then most of the teachers are female. And basically, when then the dad doesn't show up in his free time on the weekend, and isn't there to be a masculine role model, then many boys learn a lot of behaviors from
My
women and learn
mom,
how to please women. And that's where a lot of these things come from.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I feel like I can relate to that more because I'm kind of like a nice girl as well. Yeah, because maybe that's like my stereotype. Most of the guys I met, they're can be very assertive, and in their own words, like very confident. Because they always know what they want, and they're they don't have any concerns to just say it out loud.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, like as nice guy, there's a lot of things that holding you back.
Yeah.
When you are trying to express your feelings truly.
Yeah, you said some really interesting things there, right? Because we see the different perspective from men and from women, right? A lot of women would agree that they say like, oh, there's a lot of men who are like toxic men and predators, and like I have to be careful all the time, have to be afraid, like in the club there's constantly people, like guys hitting at me. And then the male perspective is like, oh no, but like I'm so afraid to approach even, and I
didn't
talk to women in a long time, or I'm just playing video games in my mom's apartment, like in my basement, and I don't know how to do any of that. So how does that happen? And it's basically, it's a bias, right?
Yeah.
Because women only get approached by these guys who are not thinking about it, and maybe just like, you know, aren't the most empathetic or the most compassionate. So then you only have one experience with one type of guy, basically.
Yeah.
And all the other guys who never approach because they're too afraid, that you don't get approached by them.
It's like a selection bias.
A selection bias, right? But there's a lot of men, and I talk to a lot of men who have exactly the same struggles, that they don't want to hurt women. And that was my personal backstory, that I didn't want to hurt women. I didn't want to be the toxic man, right? I read it all the time in social media. Men are predator, men are sexual predators, men are, women feel uncomfortable, maybe you're the creep, stuff like that, you know? And I was like, I don't want to be like that. I want to be the good guy, the nice guy, right? I don't want to be someone mad at me or like hurt them. So, but on the other hand, I saw that like that 80% of women, like I read a statistic, 80% of women want to be approached by men. And then I was like, okay, but how do these two things go together? Like because what if I approach her and she's creeped out?
Yeah.
She feels hurt and she feels like, I can't know before I try, right? But on the other hand, I have to. And that just didn't go together. So that led, for me personally, my 20s, that I didn't approach any woman, really.
Oh, like, is there like a personal story you'd like to share? Like, is there like a particular moment, like in your life, where you struggled from this that made you to realize, oh, I actually want to approach women more and not just like be like a nice guy to hide my emotions?
Yeah, so I think one thing we have to understand before I share my story is that nice guys don't know that they hide their emotions, right? Mm-hmm. They're just numb. They just learned that somewhere in their childhood, and they're not aware that, oh, I'm hiding my emotion right now, right? But for me, in my 20s, it just, you know, I just wasn't feeling comfortable approaching girls. I didn't know how to do it, but I didn't have anybody to talk to about. Like, I didn't talk with friends. In my friend circles, we never talked about that kind of stuff. I didn't talk to my dad about that. We never talked about sexuality or, like, anything. And then, yeah, like, what's left? Like, porn and the internet to be educated about sexuality and like pick up artists on the internet, right? So that means like a lot of the things I learned there was that I have to be someone else, kind of put another mask on, right? What are the pickup tricks, like, kind of, which never resonated with me, but I saw just these guys telling me, you need to tell this, you need to take this pickup line, and then you can escalate and then bring her home and some stuff. And was always like, but is that how relationships should go? But for me personally, it went into I was just playing. I was living my life, I was studying, right? But I was, apart from that, I was just playing video games, I was partying, I was drinking alcohol, I was taking drugs. And I remember someone telling me like, oh, it's your 20s, just have fun, just enjoy, you know, maybe flirting a little bit or maybe having a one-night stand. And I just remember like, I don't know how this can be fun. Like, it's super stressful for me. Like, when I go into a situation, I wasn't conscious back then about that, but I just felt like, oh my God, I don't want to be in that situation. And I retreated as fast as possible and went home and watched porn, right? I have one specific story I can share if you want, which is I had one friend. She was actually one of my best friends. She actually is still one of my best friends. But back then, I was in love with her for about 4 years. And I never had the courage to ask her out or to say anything because I was always too afraid of the consequence of what she's thinking about me, that I lose her as a person.
Yeah.
And I saw her going through boyfriend, 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 and just watched from the sideline. And now, talking about it in hindsight, it sounds like reasonable, but like it doesn't hurt anymore. But back then I was really devastated. I was like, what can I do different? Like I was dreaming of having a family at some point, but like how
Yeah.
do you have a family when you're not even, confident to talk to, not to talk to women. I could talk to women, but never in a romantic sense. On a friendship level, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just saying like this kind of like nice guy traits like only hold you back when you're kind of like want to be in a romantic relationship. In other like scenarios, like you are not afraid of like express yourself.
No, I would say it's like everywhere. It's also like in job, for example, when you're working, maybe, people like, there's a people pleaser, maybe people want to give you extra tasks. You can't say no,
Yeah.
right? That's the
Yeah.
second thing, which
When
people
people ask
pleasers
you
in
for
general.
a like favor, you wouldn't
Exactly.
refuse. Yeah.
Because it's like it feels unsafe to you, right? It's like, oh no, because people pleasers and nice guys are conflict avoidant.
Yeah.
Conflict avoidant say
Yes.
no, it's like no. I can't do this. So not taking initiative was the first one, right? The second one would be conflict avoidant. And then nice guys are doing everything to not go into any conflict, which
Yeah.
means not saying no
Yeah.
most of the time. So not respecting your own boundaries and not communicating your wants and your needs. So, and that is like in any relationship, right? It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. We have work relationships, we have relationships with friends. But most of the time, in all of these relationships, the nice guy, the typical nice guy, doesn't, express himself. And maybe his friend is doing something he doesn't like,
Yeah.
but he doesn't say it.
So, are there moments like where, like you were hurt, particularly being a nice guy? Is it like other moments like you just like found it's so hard to say no, then like you were like so burdened by that.
Now, when I reflect about it, I for sure during my last relationship, which was 9 years ago, between, when I was 21 to 23, I had a relationship and I wasn't feeling comfortable to talk about anything. I had a lot of shame. I didn't know that back then, right? But it led for me to not talk about sexuality, not talk about needs, wants, boundaries, not talk about emotions because I didn't even know what I feel. So in that sense, it hurt me a lot back then because I, for example, for me, when it came to sexual interactions, it was always about pleasing the woman because I want to make sure like she's satisfied. But for me personally, I never really enjoyed sex. And it
Okay.
was just like, okay, I'm coming really fast now. Like I'm at premature ejaculation. It's like just because I have so much stresses of performing that I can't really enjoy it, but I also don't talk to her about it and she didn't bring it up. And then it was just like the super shallow sexual thing we had for basically nearly 2 years. And
How did
yeah.
it like impact like your relationship? Like how did it impact yourself at that stage?
I mean, I still watched porn back then. Nobody ever showed me a way to get out of that, right? Like I didn't have my dad or anyone saying like, yeah, there's like actually you can build really open and trusting relationships when you open your
But you
heart, when you
did you
talk
like
about these things.
talk about like that to
And
anybody?
I just didn't talk about that. So
Yeah.
I think I knew inside of my heart that I was missing an experience and this isn't right and something's not working, but I didn't know what. And I was just feeling frustrated and yeah, I think lonely also in a weird sense because I was in a relationship, but like still I felt isolated. because I didn't talk to anybody also outside the relationship about the problems inside the relationship.
That makes me wonder, like, why you're still in that relationship if you feel lonely and isolated.
I mean, I didn't have any other model, right? I just felt like, okay, that's how it's supposed to be, apparently. I don't know. Like, that's what I saw when I grew up. And then, I mean, I ended it at some point, but it's, yeah, I think we never trusted each other, really. There was never really this really open, trusting relationship where you can talk about everything. And I didn't feel, and I think this is a problem for many nice guys, that they don't feel really masculine or manly, and they're like the man in the relationship. Because, and the woman then doesn't feel really safe in the relationship because she's like, oh, like, he's not taking initiative, he's not taking responsibility, he can't communicate. So she also feels something's wrong, but maybe she also doesn't know what, right? So that's what I want to teach men now, to be able to talk about these things in conversations with their romantic partners.
So back then, like, what made you want to end that relationship? Like, is there like a moment where you realized, I cannot being like a nice, simply like being a nice guy and live like this anymore?
That's a very good question. I haven't reflected upon that yet, actually. So, but it was really the fact that I couldn't be myself. I felt like everything I did, she picked on me. So back then I blamed her for it. But now I know that I just never said what I wanted, that I never said what I needed. And she's not a mind reader, right?
Yeah.
So I created my own suffering in that sense, because I wasn't feeling comfortable to communicate about all these things. I felt like she's just being mean to me. Basically, I compared me being by myself felt better than me being with her.
Yeah.
At some point, it became too much suffering that I said, like, no, I can't do this anymore. I need to move out. We were living together, and I don't know what to do.
So it's like, at the end, like, your conclusion is that, like, being alone is, like, more comfortable than staying with her.
Yeah.
It's like, at some point, like, being a people pleaser, you can feel, like, very exhausted, because you're constantly pleasing others and neglecting your own needs.
Yeah, it goes both ways, as I said. Like, she's also feeling not good then, because she doesn't, like, your partner, when you're a nice kid, she doesn't get to know you really, right? She gets to know a facade of you, like a mask you're wearing, like a performance.
Like, when did you realize it's like a mask you're wearing?
Specifically, I was 30 and I was living in Berlin. I just moved in and I just started this business coaching. And one of the coaches there who was also doing the coaching, she told me, oh, you have a lot of people-pleasing tendencies. She saw that, apparently. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, what does it mean? Okay. And then I started to Google and I stumbled over the theory of, it's like a little bit more spiritual theory about feminine energy, masculine energy, and how we all have these both energies, and that people-pleasers, nice guys, have a lot, like, unbalanced feminine energy, being like, meaning being more passive, more not taking initiative, right? The things we're talking about. And I was sitting at home and was like grinding away, trying to build a business, trying to finally feel worth to be with a woman, because that was back then what I was doing. It was like, oh, maybe I find a woman when I have that business, when I finally am strong enough, when I started working out and stuff like that. And this is obviously not bad, right? But I only did that. I left my apartment every third day to go grocery shopping. So I pushed a lot out of, trying to compensate for this hole within me. And that moment, I really realized that if I want to have a family, I need to have a wife. If I want to have a wife, I need to have a girlfriend. And if I want to have a girlfriend, I need to start dating. I never went on a date before I was 30. And then, there was the first time of my life that I started to become conscious of my own patterns, that I was deeply afraid of having sex because it meant so much stress for me. So that I had sexual shame because my parents never talked to me about it. I never talked to anybody about it. I only watch porn.
But like you're so comfortable, so comfortable talking about that, like in front of the camera here. I'm so amazed by how much you changed.
That's true. I did like 180 degree. Like I started a coaching back then and was into the Tantra space. It was called the Tantric Man Experience. And Tantra, I'm aware that especially in the West, it has like a weird, like people are like, what is that? Isn't it like just group orgies with like under like spiritual like name? But it's really, I was skeptical at first and was like, I don't know what that is. It's weird. But it really showed me a beautiful way to be more con, yeah, look inside. I started to see, okay, how do I feel? I remember the first time I went into like a men's circle. It was part of the coaching. I was like, how do we feel mentally, physically, emotionally, these things. And in the beginning of the circle, and I was like, I don't know, good and bad. Like those were my two answers for how do you feel? And I realized I never in my life could like answer this question. So then we had this like circle of emotions where it's like fear and joy and anger and like base emotions. And it's like, so I slowly
So
get to
many,
know my emotions and how to name them. And then I like it was really amazing journey to get there. And then the sexual shame and everything I started to work on with a sexological body worker actually. So it was like a professional woman, and she was kind of like a coaching format, but it was with like getting touched, and like I told her how I want to be touched. She had like gloves on and was dressed, right? It was not about me getting satisfied or anything, right? Not like going to a massage parlor or something like that. But it was really about, and it was the first time maybe in my life where I could relax and focus on my own body and my own sexual energy and just close my eyes and tell her how to touch me and see how that feels and what comes up within me, what kind of fears, what part of my body is tensing up. And that was a really good exploration. It felt really good in the beginning because I felt like, wow, I finally discovered that part of myself where I was always focused on the other person in a sexual situation, and I could never, I didn't even know what I want because I was so focused outside of myself.
It's so interesting that like the moment you finally start to be self-aware was the moment when you were told by a woman that like you are people pleaser. I guess like you must be very open-minded to start looking inside about yourself, but like I would assume that if it's like not a nice guy, he wouldn't take that seriously. Yeah, he would think, oh, I'm not that sad. Then he like would stop thinking about that. But like you took her words and then you really started like this like self-exploration journey, like both mentally and physically, I guess.
I think the one point which is important to understand for everyone, there comes this moment where you're just sick of it. You're just like, fuck, I don't want this anymore. Like I was looking at my life, right? I was like, I'm grinding away at home. I don't see a finish line. I'm leaving my apartment every third day. I'm not feeling comfortable dating. Like I'm already 30. Like you need to change something. Like I don't see this changing. So that was kind of like the background also where I was like, I something has to be different. Like I just until now, I just did the same things and it led to the same result. Okay, I'm open for new solutions. And I think this, you know, opening the lens for other things, which maybe even if I would have stumbled over them before, I wouldn't have done them, as you said, because usually you need this one point in your life where you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want anymore. I don't want.
Okay, you came to a point where like you didn't want to be the old yourself. You want to invent a new you. Then what would give you courage to do that? To just find a girlfriend, start dating?
So
Like, what was your first step to achieve that back then?
the first steps was actually finding this coaching where there was the first block I stumbled over. This guided coaching, it was a group coaching, and it was men's circles. So I don't know who knows men's circles. from your audience, but it's basically men coming together.
So
and
a
it's a,
support group.
Yeah, exactly. It's like anonymous alcoholics just for men, for everyday life, to talk about these things I never talked about, right? For about your relationship, maybe about personal problems with addiction, with porn addiction, right?
Yeah.
I watch a lot of porn. And it was very nice to, first of all, see that I'm accepted there, but then also that there are other people who are the same as me. And
Yeah.
also, that was the most funniest thing ever. I remember in one circle in Berlin where I went, there was this like big dude, like really big, full of tattoos with like a big beard, you know, like a biker or some shit. Then he's talking about his emotions and this like the cutest teddy bear. And you're like,
Yeah.
what? Like when I see them on the street, I'm like so afraid of them, kind of like intimidated by this like outer appearance. But it was amazing to see what kind of men go to these events.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating as well. It's because as like Asian woman, I kind of, my experience about men is like they're not used to feeling their emotions. Like you said, they're not like used to like revealing their emotions to others either. Yeah. It's like I guess most of Asians are like this. But like my experience is that like it takes time for you to actually just to start to feel everything inside. But like you need to have a strong motivation to do that. For you, it's like, I need to change. Yeah, for me, it was like, because I cannot feel kind of stressed. And my body kind of like reflects that, but without me knowing what's wrong. Yeah. I guess like each person is different, but there must be something that triggers them to change.
Exactly. Some trigger to have the strength to go into this transformation, this personal transformation, right?
Yeah. And you like your first step is good. Like it kind of like created a supportive environment for you to be comfortable sharing your own experiences and to find, oh, I'm not alone.
Exactly.
There are others who are like me.
I think this is the best way to approach any journey, basically, because there was this experiment with rats where they tested how addiction worked. And they had this one rat by itself in a cage, and they gave it like the choice between normal water and like heroin infused water. And when it went to like pretty far, it got addicted to the heroin water. But then they repeated the experiment with a way bigger cage, and there were a lot of rats in the cage. And they had the choice again, but only a tiny percentage of these rats got addicted to the heroin water. So most of the rats living a healthy, happy life with the other rats not being isolated and feeling good about themselves, they didn't go down that route of the heroin water. They were happy, like they didn't need that. So it was, yeah, it's really interesting to see. And it leads to the conclusion that the more isolated we are, the more we search for these experiences like drugs, porn, gambling, social media, gaming, right? All the short-term dopamine things, which are just distracting and numbing us. So we don't have to feel the misery we're feeling in that moment.
Oh, that's so true. I think we are touching upon like something deeper about like addiction. It's because we cannot get what we really desire. So we just go for some like easy option, like alternatives. Like,
And most humans are so afraid of, you know, there's a saying I really like, everything you desire lies on the other side of fear. So most things we desire, we're afraid of maybe failing going there. Afraid in a romantic context, for men especially, it would be like being afraid of rejection, right?
Yeah.
But also in business context, you get rejected. Men and women, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like a very masculine practice of like, I'm reaching out to people. Ooh, what?
And then no response.
Is it about
no positive feedback. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's scary, right? That's scary. So beating that fear, kind of like, or being able to feel the fear and sitting with the fear and being okay to be afraid and still doing it, that's what I want to teach men. Because I don't believe that men are never scared, or like humans in general are never scared. That's not how it works. It, like, the most courageous person is the person who feels the most fear and still does it, right? So, yeah.
Were you like this before? Like you kind of like reach the point where you can like feel you're afraid to reach out to women and sit comfortably, not comfortably, like sit with that fear for a while and then kind of picked up like the courage.
Yeah, I remember going on my first date. It was in Berlin, and I wasn't during that time in the coaching, right? So we had the weekly men's circles and stuff like that, and I was already more aware of what I was feeling in that moment. And I remember I texted with her a little bit, and then I invited her to go to that one bar. And at that moment, I tried to be like, okay, what can I do different than usually? So being more in my masculine energy, that means like maybe being more like saying like, okay, do you want to meet there? Or like, let's meet there.
Be
What do
more
you think about that?
assertive.
More assertive, more like initiative, right? We were talking about that. Usually I would have never done that. So I asked her out. She said yes. I was like, oh my God, now it's happening, shit. Like, no, I actually have to actually go. And one thing which calmed me down a little bit was that she was actually 10 years younger than me. So she was 20 and I was 30. And I was like, oh, she's probably more scared of me than I'm of her, you know? But I went there, and I remember half an hour in the tram in Berlin. I was just like standing there, and I was just like, was breathing. My heart was beating. Like, I was so scared to go on this date for whatever reason. Like, right? It's not a logical decision. It's like the nervous system, which is overreacting because it's like, oh my God, this is a dangerous situation. We need to get out of here as fast as possible.
Because you are not used to that kind
Yeah.
of situation before.
And it happened several times to me. Another time when I wanted to approach a woman in like just public space, she was working at this one strawberry stand, and I saw her, and I actually saw her the third time, and I was like, okay, this would be my first approach. Like, I don't know, I felt supported. I already talked to people about it, but I was like, I just want to go there. But yeah, I felt a lot of fear, right? I went there. I did the most stupid pickup line ever. I was like,
What was that?
she was so first of all, I approached her. In that moment, she just turned away and unraveled some symmetry. He's like, oh fuck, turn around. I feel like I'm a stupid idiot standing here, even though I wasn't right, I was just waiting. Then she turned around to me and I was like, hey, you sell strawberries, right? And there was only strawberries there. And she was like, yeah. All right. But then she said, luckily enough, she said, I'm just doing this between my travels and my studies. I was like, yes, something I can ask. Oh, what do you study? What do you do? Right. But the whole time, and I don't know how much time passed, but I was like, it was like in a fever dream. I was like, I felt like I'm outside of my body. I was just like talking about weird stuff. I don't remember anything anymore. And then I was just like, it's just for practice. Whatever's happening, happening. Just ask her for her number. Like, just to have that hooked, like, you know, just tick it off the box. Don't be a creep. Just ask her nicely. And if she says no, just go away. Right? So I ask her, she says, oh, I'm dating someone at the moment. Not sure where it goes. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, thanks for letting me know. Like, have a nice day. Go away, right? And then just going away, I felt really good about myself, but also I was looking down my hand and I was shaking. And I was shaking, and I remember this feeling. The same thing only happened to me like 3 years before when I did a skydive. So for my nervous system, approaching a woman was from a stress situation, the same level of stress than jumping 2,000 meters out of a plane. Like, you know, so that's not logic, that you can't explain that logically. So when people are like, what is so hard about it? It's like, it's not. Like, it's just the fear within myself. It's very subjective. But many guys have that level of fear because they build up so many expectations and fears around themselves. And it's really hard to overcome that first step, but then it gets easier. And it's really the best part about, and I really want to stress that fact. I went home, my roommate opened the door, and I was like, I just approached this girl and I got rejected, but it didn't matter because like I gave him a high five, he gave me a high five, and we kind of turned this whole thing around in the beginning of the year. We said we make a rejection Google Drive, like Google Docs thingy, where we just put like every time someone gets a rejection, we get a point to kind of like reframe it for us as a positive thing because we took action instead of being focused on the outcome.
Wow, that's such a good kind of like positive feedback system you have feedback then. for yourself.
Yeah, it helped me a lot, actually.
Yeah, like going, like looking back to that point, like, would you say like receiving positive feedback can have helped to keep you like engaged, like in trying to approach a girl?
I think what helped me the most was the reassurance from the others that I'm not a creep, that I'm actually a quite decent human, and that my approach of how I want to do it is not toxic. And in case she like throws like water in my face and leaves me standing and goes away, or like, you know, it gets really mad at me, then that's on her and her own trauma. Because that was the ultimate worst case scenario I was playing on repeat in my head, right? That she's getting super mad or scared, and I'm just like, fuck, I didn't want to do this, right?
Like, did that ever happen?
It never happened to me. It never happened to me. But to have the reassurance from the other guys to say like, no, it's you're doing whatever you're doing right now, it's okay. Because when I was by myself, I always had this worst case scenario going in my head, and I had nobody like kind of saying like, that's not happening. Look at the facts. Who are you? How are you approaching? You're not going there and clapping her ass and like say, hey, girls, you want to come over to tonight? Like, I don't know, you know, like whatever. That would be a very disrespectful way, right?
Yeah.
But going there, communicating what I want, like saying, hey, I would want this. Like, what do you want? You know, and then finally,
when you feel like your boundaries? Like a very respectful man.
Yeah.
That reminded me of this thing, wherever you're attention goes, your energy flows.
Yeah.
It's like if you focus on thinking about like all the bad consequences, like you're gonna feel like very afraid of doing things.
Exactly.
They will all like they will just hold you back even more. But like if you like rewire your like nerve system to like focus on thinking about like the positive side of things, like you might be able to take the initiative to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very fascinating like how you like just like rewired your nerve system to think like the whole thing in a completely different way. It's not easy at all.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah.
It takes, I think the beginning is the hardest. Because then when you had the first one, two experiences, you're like, oh, that's also an alternative outcome. It's not only the she's like putting the water glass in my face and goes away. Oh, that's also sometimes
they say yes.
I'm dating, sorry. Or like maybe a yes. But even like just having a no, which is okay, and I'm feeling okay with it and I didn't hurt her. That was enough for me as a first experience to know that I didn't hurt her in the process of reaching out to her, because that was my biggest fear, right?
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, oh, she doesn't think I'm the creep. She doesn't think I'm a weirdo, or she's not feeling harassed by me. Okay, then I can do it again.
So just by taking the initiative, you finally got the chance to kind of validate what you thought, like in reality, and saw like, oh, this is not true.
Exactly.
Then because you can change it.
Exactly, because I got evidence, right?
Yeah.
Like when we have limiting beliefs about ourselves, about the world, like where do beliefs come from? It's like either we heard them somewhere, maybe we learned it in the past.
Yeah.
This is where, right? Our brain rewinds these stories from the past and pretends it could happen in the future, but there's so many different opportunities that you know, so it's really finding the evidence for yourself that it's not like that. So really trying to reframe it. Maybe you're a scientist, maybe that helped me sometimes to see like, oh, I'm a scientist, I'm going on that date and I try to observe it from the outside. How does that happen? But it's very hard to. I also started with meditation and stuff like that back then, because it's very like logically now we can talk about it and just reframe and just like do this and that and just like think about it. It's like, but we're still thinking. The thing is, like, what's really happening is that panic attacks and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
the nervous system.
Yeah, you cannot really control yourself at that moment.
You can't outthink your panic attack, right? So I think this is where mindfulness and meditation and stuff like that comes in, the learning to be less reactive, learning to observe yourself, learning to even observe yourself when you get that panic. It's still there, but you can kind of manage it because you aren't the panic. beyond the panic and just like reacting to it and like, oh, now I run away. If you, you know, watch yourself, observe yourself from the outside. It's like, oh, I'm very anxious right now. Is that okay? Can I be anxious? Can I act from a higher consciousness? And can I make a conscious decision that I want to stay here even though I feel panic? And that's the thing we need to learn to then take action, to then gain new evidence, to then rewire the nervous system.
Wow, what you did was amazing. I want to
Thanks so
give
much.
you applause for that. So just to briefly recap what you just said, like, so first step, like you did, was to feel your feelings.
Yes.
Yeah. And to be self-aware that like you were actually afraid of taking the initiative, especially when like asking girls out. And second thing you did was to maybe to realize like what thoughts you had that could lead you to be afraid of such things
Yeah,
and
exactly.
realize there might be other possibilities
Yeah.
to think it differently. And then after receiving some of like the positive feedbacks from like other people and from the actual evidence of you validating that, like when you approach them, then you kind of like, no, okay, they're just my fantasies,
Yeah.
not truth. And gradually you kind of like change yourself, or like, I guess like you're still a nice guy, but like now you're nice guy coach.
Yeah, I feel like it never, I don't know if it ever really completely goes away, but I can control it. Like I know, like I'm very much aware of my patterns and I know when something's coming up, I can feel it and let my, I did some inner child work, but I can see like, oh, like this part of me is very afraid of it right now, but it's not me. It's just part of me. Can I still do it? Okay. And that led me this year, for example, to do a public speech. And I talked about porn addiction in front of like 50 people and uploaded it on the internet. Or I just recently got into my first relationship since I
Wow,
ended.
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So I utilized all the skills and learnings and like just not from a right pickup artist perspective, but from an authentic perspective, from an what do I want? What do I need? What are my boundaries? How do I feel? And then asking her the same, what do you want? What do you need? What are your boundaries?
That's how you like communicate. Like
Yeah,
it's a
it's
bilateral way.
exactly.
It's
It's a forth and back, right? And then we can see if we come together.
Okay. Now I wonder, like, what made you to want to be a nice guy coach? When did you feel like it's, I want to do this. It's kind of like a mission to help other nice guys.
It really started earlier this year. Like last year, I was doing podcast production and was more in media, but I was just frustrated by it. I didn't know what was missing. And then I had the idea of coaching in the back of my head. But the first time in my life, I wasn't too reactive to life, right? Because I started to do much work. So in the past, I would start the next project because I'm a grown up and I need to do something, right? I can't just not do something.
Kind of like way to not take initiative as well.
Yeah, or like being too fear driven of like I need to find a thing finally to be whatever, like to be someone, to have something, like
To
my
go
time
back to
is
your safe
running.
space.
Yeah, exactly. And then yeah, so this time I gave myself time until I find something which feels like a fuck yes, you know. And that's not like, oh, I don't have any other options, right? So yeah, I was in Bali in February and I attended a workshop at this one cafe called Cafe Coach, and there was this one transformation coach. And basically that was when I made the decision, because we did this guided meditation and it was a really cool visualization. And I was like, I'm gonna give it a try. Yeah.
Wow. Congrats on finding your missions.
Thank you.
So, at that moment, like, did you feel something differently inside? That, like, yes, this is the things I want to do. And
I
how
just
would that, like, different from, like, the feeling of, like, being just, like, immersed in fear. Yeah.
I think a lot of purpose in the world, for a lot of people, purpose comes with serving, serving others, and having less of an ego, right? Less of an ego means not me, 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 take-us mentality, but give-us mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I could really do that with the coaching, like give to people, and especially because I experienced it myself. I know what it means to be numb and to not feel anything and to be frustrated because I don't know how to get out of this. And then switching to the other side and seeing like how much love there is when, but I needed to open my heart first to let other people in. And also now with the relationship, I believe you can only love other people as much as you love yourself. And I want to give this to other men too, and then also to other women, because I hear all the women talking about there are so many toxic men and like they don't know what to do. And I've for sure hurt women in the past because I was too ashamed of talking about certain things, to checking in maybe for boundaries or for their needs and wants. And I don't want to be that guy who's too afraid and then hurting people. And I think the world needs more healthy masculine men.
Yeah, that comes to the question of like, what kind of man, like eventually you want to become, or like, do you think yourself have reached like the ideal state?
I think the ideal state, what I want to teach every man and every boy, even when they're growing up, is that they're okay as they are, that they have this inherent sense of self-worth, that they have self-confidence in themselves, and that they have these skills to be assertive, you know, to be masculine and to take action and to fear the fear, but going through it, and to have a plan and do it, and have all these like kind of like the head, the logical part, which I call the masculine energy part, right? But then also combine that in a whole package of like going in the in the feminine energy, meaning like being more connected with the heart, means like feeling more, knowing what they're feeling, naming these emotions, being able to trust and let go, and being not so reactive. And it's really the combination of these two energies, or if you don't want to like frame it so spiritually, like the head and the heart, which I think right now is like too much head and not enough heart.
Yeah.
And the combination of this is what I would wish every man in the world could learn to like for as a skill set.
Yeah, it's not like always looking at masculine and feminine power as two opposite extremes, but like to combine them and reach a balance. It's like they're like yin and yang. It's like the masculine and feminine force.
Yeah.
Like either you are like a female or like a male, like I guess we all need that. Because we need our mind, we also need our body.
Exactly.
We need them to be in balance all the time.
And can I add one thing about because I'm talking about energies, and I know it's like a very specific vocabulary, which I didn't like in my 20s. I was like kind of like put off about this like spiritual talk. So I want to add that when I talk about masculine, feminine energy, everybody knows the experience of like, you know, this is why I say also head or heart, kind of like being connected to these two, because that's more graspable for most people. And what I'm not meaning with that is stereo or gender typical traits, right? Everyone has both energies within us. It's not that I want women to always like to not have a saying in a relationship, for example, the man takes the decision or something like that, right? That's not what I want. I want for both, right? To one needs boundaries. I say it again, like that both partners can express these on eye level, right? But then there's also the experience for me as a man. Like I can only share from my experience and what I heard from other women, right? I only have the masculine experience. But I, when I started to question my sexual shame and the fear of intimacy, and I asked myself, what do I miss from sexuality? And I came to the conclusion that I would like to be, that I'm craving that feeling of like being a masculine man, like being a little bit of dominant in the bedroom, but I was too afraid to do that. And I hear from a lot of women that they really enjoy with a trusted partner to let go of control and to really find someone they can trust fully.
Yeah.
And I think this, for me personally, is just a dynamic which I think, call it divine or whatever. I'm not baptized, but something, it's just per design, it clicks together like yin and yang, right? It's just we're made for each other, and I think we don't see that enough anymore. It's really like a men against women, especially in the West, like, you know. So
yeah, I found your story particularly touching and fascinating. Is that like, I feel like right now we're in a society where we put too much stress on the masculine power, both to male and female. Even as like Asian female, I can feel that like I need to be more assertive to get what I want. Even if most of the time that's not something I'm used to or comfortable with, but like I felt like I need to turn myself into a person like a guy.
Yeah.
So especially like at workplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to like be promoted, if you want to lead the team, you need to show them like you have the masculine power in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like it's kind of interesting always like the society, like in a relationship, like most of the girls, we still want to, especially Asians, I would say, still want the men's to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my question, is like, why like the society made you to feel that like guys should be the one to approach women in the first place, right? If like there's girls who are kind of like they had a crush on you, they should be the one to approach you as well, right? You shouldn't be the only one who felt that pressure.
So I questioned that a lot. And I think this is always the question between how much percentage of this behavior is societal, I think that's the word, societal behavior, sociology, right?
Yeah.
And how much of that is biology, right? And I read these books, like The Female Brain and The Male Brain. It was really interesting where they were talking about, for example, child play behavior in monkeys.
Mm.
In specific, I don't remember which ones, but they were very close to humans, but obviously not societal like humans. So we can make a lot of like assumptions about that this is from biology. And what one thing that happened was that they gave them different like weapons and dolls to play, which is a very typical thing for like men and women, right? Or boys and girls. So the girls actually played 50-50 with the toys. So they played with the weapons and also with the dolls. And the boys, though, played nearly solely with the weapons. Mm-hmm. And if they played with a doll, they used it as a weapon. So led to the assumption that maybe like men are like hardwired for this rough and tumble play.
Yeah.
To just learn this behavior when they grew up, because that was how we used to, you know, survive. And it's still hardwired within us. And there's like other behaviors, like young women, like really like babies, you know, girls, baby girls. They apparently, mothers say that they have way more often this experience where the girl eye gazes with her and like reads her emotions in the face very strongly all the time.
It's
whereas boys are like super like distracted and just like, you know, like they don't care about the faces, which then leads to the sometimes, okay, like maybe girls are hardwired to start reading these emotions. That's why, of course, when they practice it from early on, they're better and like reading the room and stuff like that. Whereas boys are maybe better with like their hands and handcraft or something like that. That's not true, obviously, if you practice later on, but just that there's a tendency in biology for that. So I think when it comes to the question of approaching, that I think I'm not sure. I think there's a huge, there's an argument to make that it's a lot of biology where women just feel better, more safe, more secure. I don't know when they get approached. Yeah, but ultimately, I don't know, right? I just know I feel good when I approach now. It doesn't feel like stress anymore. I feel good. And we even see it in behavior like, for example, porn users are way more men, right? It's way more the approaching, like searching the sexuality. Whereas I heard the sentence once, and not everybody agrees, but like social media for women is what is porn for men. So like posting bikini photos and getting likes and getting this dopamine rush of getting attention, which is basically right the opposite of kind of like porn is like this, oh, I'm click on this video, I get this experience. It's like an artificial, I'm reaching out and get a sexual experience. What basically is like, approaching a girl, but like she can say no because it's a video. And then on social media, it's like, oh, I'm putting myself in the market and I get a dopamine rush from all the likes. And it's more of a woman behavior than what men are doing. So yeah, there's all these things, and I'm not 100% sure how, it's connected, but I think there's a way where men and women can work together, and that it's kind of like hard for me. I believe that there's a good reason to make like it's biology a lot, and I believe in okay, I think the men should approach actually.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of that was impacted by culture as well. Because my actually before hearing your story and sharing my thoughts about like a similar situation is that like if a guy does not approach me or ask me out, that means he's not interested in me. Yeah, or like if I go out on a date with a guy and he doesn't have an opinion on everything, that means he's not interested at all either. Yeah, only when I heard your story, then I realized, oh, it might not be the case. They might just be like too nice. Yeah, that makes me like, yeah, wonder the like, do you see like a more ideal way where like you said, like the masculine power and feminine power can be combined and together for both men and women to work together better?
Are you talking about relationships or
Or any other?
so how we can work better together as a team, basically? I think it's really hard in the beginning to, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, here in Bali, we have a lot of like more spiritual people and more people who are more connected with their emotions, their feelings. And the same as I started to feel, I really want to be more dominant or want to be able to be more dominant, and I feel like that's a blockage within me. I want to be able to be more dominant in the bedroom, for example. I feel like that same behavior is also true for women, right? Where they say, I want to surrender more, and I really so it starts with the realization that it's really something I'm craving from within, but that is very hard to crave, maybe when there's like layers of layers of layers of like specific limiting beliefs about that. For example, a lot of women have, as you said, grow up in a very masculine world, right? They have to go also to the job market and then apply, and it's like very much strategy and like logic and head, and like you're coding, right? So it's like a very very logical, not emotion connected thing. So then for a lot of women, it can happen that when they go from work to a romantic relationship, they try the same strategy and suddenly it doesn't work because she's not understanding that if she comes in with the same energy of like, okay, I'm planning this, I'm planning that, and he's doing the same thing, it's like two people trying to dance with each other
Yeah,
and both
it's
trying
gonna
to lead,
clash.
and it's gonna clash. So being aware of like, okay, what do I actually want inside? And are there fears which are blocking me from wanting to do that? So for example, for women, it could be something like do I feel comfortable to let go of control? Or can I trust men? It's a big one. Also because there's so much shit about like men are not trustworthy. So trusting the masculine just in general, not even one specific man, but like what is your relationship to the masculine as a whole? Like, are you always like, well, no, I don't know, like every it doesn't matter if it's my friends or thing, some men I trust more, but in general I have like I'm very skeptical towards them. How do you then you don't open your own heart probably? How do you expect to build a loving relationship then? So asking these patterns about yourself. And then the same as me, right? Seeing like, okay, how do, which ones serving me and which ones are maybe sabotaging me? And talking to others about their experience, right? Not trying to figure it out by yourself. And yeah, finding the right environment to grow in, because it's scary to maybe let go of control also. It's the same as like maybe it's scary to take control the first time.
Last question, like, how do you see yourself right now in Bali being a nice guy coach compared to like the guy who was afraid of asking girls out back in Germany?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm feeling super self-confident. I'm feeling a lot of love, a lot of excitement. A lot of joy. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I have my lows, right?
Of course, we are humans.
Exactly, right? Like sometimes I'm not feeling as self-confident, and sometimes I'm not feeling as worthy, and sometimes I have a lot of stress, right? But it doesn't last as long, and it's not like years of like suffering, but it's like, you know, I realize it and allow it there to be there, like maybe a winter season, you know, and then you know, the better season comes again. And I know what I need to do to recharge, to go to my men's circle, for example, is one thing, to go in nature, to talk to others. So yeah, to go on events where other people talk to each other. And that helps me to feel very connected to myself and to allow my feelings to be there. And it doesn't matter if it's comfortable feelings like joy, excitement, and or it's like uncomfortable emotions like sadness and anger.
Wow, that's amazing. What would you say to the nice guys who is listening to this right now? Like one piece of advice.
I think my most nice guys feeling very lonely, and I would tell them that they're not alone, that they probably have a lot of shame, even though they don't know it, and that shame can survive in the light. And you have to start talking about the things you're ashamed about. And that's how you get rid of it. And I'm there for them. Like, they can join me in my men's group or in a local men's group in person. There's like many ways to first connect with other people to just talk about your experience, maybe the first time ever, being witnessed, being listened to, sharing some things you maybe have never shared in your life. And I think this is the first step for a really great transformation.
Wow. You're saying that like out loud very gently, but I can feel like you're also very strong by saying that and by sharing all your stories in front of the camera. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.